But make no mistake, we are fast approaching at warp speed the time of separation. And that's what this parable talks about. Let's read that together. It's on the back of your devotional. And you know what? Because we live in the time of fishing, and because we know that the time of separation is coming, there's the urgency. And we'll see the urgency here in this parable. Again, this is a warning shot fired across the bow of Christians, church people. That's who Jesus is speaking to here. The parable. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like. Now, you know what the kingdom of heaven is? I thought maybe I should back up and explain the kingdom. When you think of the kingdom of heaven, what do you think? If you think, first of all, that the kingdom of heaven, that Jesus is talking about the heavenly realm, no, that is not true. The kingdom of heaven is God's rule on earth. That's the kingdom of heaven. When Jesus talks about the kingdom of heaven and describes it, so you're living in the kingdom of heaven right now. And when he describes the kingdom of heaven, he always talks about it, about activities that are taking place on earth. Under the auspice, under the supervision, and under the at times insinuation of the heavenly realm into those activities on earth. That's the kingdom of heaven. You're in it. God's rule. He's ruling from the heavenly realm, but the kingdom is a physical place, and we're here on this earth in it. And what we see in this parable, we see the kingdom of heaven evolve. We see a sequence of events take place, and with that sequence of events, the kingdom changes and evolves. And think of the kingdom right now as the large end of a funnel. And as it evolves, that funnel goes down to the point. And the final kingdom of heaven will be the small point of that funnel. And what we see here, this was interesting to me. We see God come into his own, so to speak. Yeah. We see God become king of the earth in a new way. That strangely and oddly, he is not king of the earth in this way now. And here's what I mean by that. In his kingdom now, there are still rebels living in his kingdom. So even though God is king now, he will be king in a different way, and he comes into his own when God's future, I love that term, let your mind spin on that for a while, God's future coincides and has a nexus with our future, and they become one. Was that complicated? The small end of the funnel. The kingdom evolves. Well, what is the kingdom presently like, if that's true? Well, he tells us, look at this. Again, the kingdom of heaven is presently, you could say, is presently like a dragnet cast into the lake. Watch for the two distinct times and the two distinct activities. But right now, it's like a dragnet cast into the lake, which gathered what? All kinds. Here's the time of fishing. That's where we live. And the kingdom now is this dragnet. It's a net. And the lake would be the world. Remember the parable of the weeds? He said the field was the world. Now the lake is the world. And there's been a big net. This is how they fished in Galilee, by the way. And you know why Teresa said, again, when you read parables, it spoke to the activity of the day. And everybody in Galilee, they fished, or they sold olive oil. I mean, the vocational opportunities weren't that great in first century Palestine. So they knew about this fishing, and this is how they spent their day. Here's the time of fishing. This is where we're at. This is what the kingdom of heaven is now. The kingdom of heaven includes all, every kind. and specifically the church. You can be in the church. You're in a church today. You're in the net. But the trick is the small end of the funnel, right? How serious do you think the instructor is? If you've blown off the class all semester, how serious do you think the instructor is going to be during the final exam? Now, the kingdom evolves. Watch this. When the net was filled, wow. When the net was filled, there is going to be a time when the net's filled. I don't know what that means. I don't know what that looks like. But I do know, according to our Lord and Master, there's going to be a time when the net is filled, the fishing is over, the complement of all kinds are now in this net, and then look what happens to that net. The net's filled, and it's dragged up on the beach. We live in the lake. We don't see the shore because we're in the lake. We don't see this heavenly realm, which is the shore in this parable. But it very much interacts with the lake, doesn't it? The shore is there. The lake is there. We can't see the shore. The shore is looking at the lake. They can't see into the lake. Two interlocking dimensions of God's kingdom here. This is great. They are strangely present to one another, but they're opaque to one another. But a day is coming when the net is filled, when those two dimensions are going to be thrust into each other's reality. You watch this. That net is dragged out of the lake, filled with all kinds, up onto the shore. The time of fishing has ended, and the kingdom of heaven is evolving. And then you know what was interesting to me? They sat down. You know why they sat down? There's no urgency anymore. Fish are going nowhere. They are literally fish out of water. These fish are in a net. They're out of water. They've been thrust into a reality that they have no way of understanding what it is, but it's there and they're there. They can do nothing about it. They're fish out of water. They're in the net. They're going nowhere. And the sorters, this parable gives me kind of a chill. And the sorters sit down. Their urgency's over. And they take their time. And now the kingdom evolves into a time of sorting. A new time period has begun. The kingdom has evolved. And we're going to see God become king in a new way. A time of sorting. They sort out the good fish and they put them into vessels. But the worthless, they threw away. That is how it will be. How? How will it be? The time of sorting. We're in the time of fishing. The time of sorting is how it will be when? At the end of the world. At the end of the age. At the end of the time of fishing. When the net is filled. The urgency here for us, we don't know when that net is filled. It could be before I finish the next sentence. It could be 100 years from now. There's the unknown and there's the urgency. That's how it will be at the end of the world. The angels will come and separate the evil and notice that evil is synonymous in this parable with worthless. The good fish are valuable. The evil fish are worthless. The angels will come and separate the evil or the worthless from the midst of the righteous, the midst of the valuable, the midst of people sitting in church. They're right there with them. The net has gathered them all. They're together. They're dragged from the lake up on the shore. They have no recourse. They have no appeal. They have nowhere to go. And the angels sit down and start to sort. Good fish into the vessel. Worthless fish thrown out. That's how it's going to be at the end of the world. And the evil from the midst of the righteous, and they're going to throw them into the furnace of fire. I love this next one. Out there. Where, Lord? Where is out there? Out there. Out in the furnace. Away from the shore. Away from the lake. Out there. Two will be at the mill grinding. One will be taken. Out there. The other will be left. It changes our theology a little bit about that, doesn't it? You know the Left Behind series? I want to be left behind. Because I don't want to go out there. Two will be in bed sleeping. One will be taken. The other left. The valuable fish, the worthwhile, the good, stay. The worthless go. Watch your theology on that. And throw them into the furnace out there. People. See, here's where it gets real. It's okay when he's talking about fish. People will experience this. People in our midst. People that I'm going to see tomorrow in my office. You see the urgency here? To change your view a little bit about what we should be? Because if you make this theoretical, if you make this myth, fable, or legend, we can blow this off. But when Jesus himself says, I'll tell you what I'm talking about, these fish, I'm talking about people. And people are going to experience something. What are they going to experience? They're going to experience wailing. He uses that expression a lot, doesn't he? Wailing and gnashing of teeth. Do you know why the wailing and gnashing? Do you know what those people who are now out there? I know this is hard teaching. I know that. I know this is unpopular. I know that. I know you're not going to hardly ever hear this kind of message anymore in the Church of America. Got that too. I will convey what our sovereign prince, king, is saying to us. You make your interpretation. You take and apply it. I will say it. That is my mission. That is my call. Wailing and gnashing of teeth. Do you know why? Now they feel a tremendous sense of urgency. Can you imagine being in that spot? Urgency. You wake up. You're in class. It's the final exam. The time for preparation, fishing, is gone. The time of sorting is upon you. Here's the point of this parable, and here's where we're just going to talk. The point of this parable is your seriousness now about your faith, about your call, about your mission as God's people, about being salt and light, about being an image bearer. Attach anything you want to that. Your seriousness and urgency that you feel now about that and how serious you are about your faith, and you know how serious you are about your faith. I don't know how serious you are. I don't want to be in that position, you know, and we're not in that position. And please don't take it that way. I have no judgmental statement to make about you individually because I don't know. But I do know this. The seriousness and urgency that you attach to your mission now is directly proportional to how serious you think the instructor is going to be on this separation day. The urgency and seriousness and attention, how much time do you give to this now? Because if this is true, I'm going to give it a lot of time. Because if I have a certainty about final judgment, if I have a certainty about this furnace, Jesus keeps using that expression. And Jesus loves us and has given himself for us, and yet at the same time, he can tell us a parable like this. There's the warning shot across our bow. And if you have a certainty in your heart that this time of separation is a certainty, it will translate directly into how serious you are about your faith. Doesn't that make sense? If I think the instructor on the final day is not going to budge on that exam, I'm going to be serious about the class. If you believe, as I do, you know, I want to tell you, there was a time in my life when I kind of had a laissez-faire attitude about this, but I don't anymore. And I'll tell you what changed it. My study of Scripture changed it. I studied Scripture. Why? I was going to make sure it was true. I had to. And I tore it apart. I used critical analysis on that book like I did on any other book of literature. And I came to the conclusion, and a simple way that I can say this is, no man could have written that book. I'm there. The more I understand about it, I say, this is history. No man could have possibly written this book. Therefore, I have a certainty about this final judgment. Maybe that'll help your certainty if I have any credibility with you. Here's what it did to me. Here's what it should do to you. It gives us a very healthy fear of God. A healthy fear. Oh, I fear him. Absolutely fear him. Oh, yes, he's love. Boy, that's the conundrum of God, isn't it? And that's where God is attacked, actually, by the secular world. How can you talk to me about a God who would do thus and so, and then still tell me that he's a God of love? This makes me fear him. You know why? Here, church people, listen. Here's why this makes me fear him. I'll talk to me today. You listen in. Because this parable teaches us that even though a person is now, presently, in the church, in the net, that does not mean that that same person will in the future be in the kingdom, in the vessel, does it? Because in this parable, the time of fishing, the net collects all kinds. You think you're okay because you're in the net. You're in the church. But when the net is taken on shore, the funnel starts to get narrow, and the kingdom of heaven in the future now, instead of being the net, becomes the vessel. And the vessel, if you'll notice, has one kind. You can be in the church, in the net, now in the kingdom, presently, and not have that translate into being in the kingdom, in the vessel, in the end. These fish that are sorted out are in the midst of the good fish. It's the parable of, remember the parable of the field? Remember the wheat and the weeds? And they come and they say, Lord, amongst the wheat, and I mean right amongst the wheat, weeds are growing. And that parable is again about the kingdom of heaven. Here's our misconception. The kingdom of heaven presently contains all and sundry, all kinds. Everybody is now in the kingdom of heaven. The trick, what this parable says, will they stay? You see, that's the benevolence and love. You talk about loving God. There's his benevolence and love. They're in the net. There's a time of fishing. There's an opportunity. There's urgency. The sorting is coming. How loving is it for me as a pastor to not preach this message? How loving is it for me as a pastor to give you this false assurance that is pandemic in the church? You're okay, I'm okay, God's okay, don't worry about it. Enemy's greatest tool. You're in the net, don't worry about it. You come to church, you're good, don't worry. That's a judgmental, critical kind of preaching, and you're trying to scare people. You're trying to scare the hell out of people so that you get them into heaven. And I say, that's exactly what Jesus is doing. This parable, like the parable of the wheat and the weeds, says they're growing together. And you can't tell the wheat from the weeds until the wheat starts to produce fruit. You can't tell the good fish, the valuable fish, from the worthless fish until they're drug up on shore and the sorting begins. Now, here's where we're going to apply this, and here's where it gets real. You know, my sister Judy has an expression that she turned me on to, and she said it to someone in our family. She said, finish well. Finish well. Be valuable. It's the time of fishing. No, this is not a work salvation message. And don't, that is the caveat, and that is the escape that people throw at a message like this to absolve them from responsibility. This parable attacks this self-righteous, false security, almost a smugness that I see in church people. You detect any of that? We're okay. Our ticket is punched. You're not. We're in. You're not. We go to church. This parable attacks that. And here's what this parable teaches us. A wise fear of God. Has the fear of God ever stopped you from doing something that you knew would be patently wrong in his eyes? If the answer is yes, you've got a healthy fear of God. It reminds me of when I was, you know, I talk about movies a lot. And I think you probably think that's all I do. But honestly, we don't watch that many movies. But it reminded me of, again, Lord of the Rings. Talk about fear. Remember that exchange between Frodo and Aragorn? Yeah, Nathan, I know you would, Nathan. And Aragorn says to Frodo, you know, Frodo's carrying the ring. And Aragorn says to him, are you frightened? And Frodo answers, yes. And Aragorn says back, not nearly frightened enough. I know what hunts you, and they're coming. And Frodo says, what do you want from me? Aragorn says, a little more caution from you. That is no trinket you carry. You see, listen, God's people, that really resonated with me. I think so many of God's people think they're carrying a trinket, that our faith is a trinket. We have been entrusted, Paul says in Romans chapter 3, we've been entrusted, like Frodo was entrusted with the safe passage of that ring. Paul says, you've been entrusted with the oracles of God. And I think that we can look at that as a trinket. And what we need to do, which is healthy and a good exercise, get back to knowing who it is that hunts us, that haunts us. C.S. Lewis calls him the giver of the moral code and the awful haunter of nature. This parable attacks that kind of smug, self-righteous, laissez-faire attitude about God. You want to see who God is? I want you to, we don't do this very often, but today I want you to turn to me with Exodus 19. If you leave here today a little frightened, then the Holy Spirit has done his job. I want you to look at Exodus 19, starting with verse 16. Y'all there? If you don't know, Exodus would be the second book in the Bible, right behind Genesis, which would be the first book. Exodus 19, verse 16. Understand, when you know the Jewish people, understand they knew nothing of Yahweh. They knew nothing. They had just heard Moses say, well, this God wants to deal with you people. They didn't know his nature, they didn't know his laws, they didn't know his character, nothing. So Moses takes them out of Egypt. He brings them to the mountain where they're going to get the law. And then Moses has a job to do. And I have a job to do. And I am not Moses, but I have a job like Moses. He needs to introduce them to who they're dealing with. This is the being that you have to give account to. And I'm saying that to you. This is the being you need to give account to. You know, our nation has lost its fear of God. Look at the things not only discussed in the secular world, but God help us, the things that are discussed in the churches that we need to be open-minded about. The time of sorting is coming. And it's a very close-minded attitude during that time of sorting. One kind. Things that are debated in the church, moral and social issues that we need to reconsider. We need to be open about that. Why? We've lost the fear of God. Verse 16, on the third day when morning came, there was thunder and lightning, a thick cloud on the mountain, and a loud trumpet sound, so that all the people in the camp shuddered. Then Moses brought the people out of the camp. What for? To meet God. Here, I took you out of this, I led you away. I want you to meet him now. I want to introduce you to God. And they stood at the foot of the mountain. Mount Sinai was completely enveloped in smoke because the Lord came down on it in fire. Its smoke went up like the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain shook violently. As the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him in the thunder. I want you to come out of camp, and I'm going to introduce you to this God that just took you out of Egypt. Here, I want you to know who you're dealing with. Go to chapter 20, verse 18. Look at their reaction. We need this reaction. Chapter 20, verse 18. All the people witnessed the thunder and lightning, the sound of the trumpet, and the mountains surrounded by smoke. When the people saw it, they trembled and stood at a distance. And they say to Moses, you speak to us and we'll listen. But don't let God speak to us or we'll die. We don't want anything to do with this being that is shaking this entire Mount Sinai. He seems like someone not to trifle with. He seems like someone who's going to do some pretty severe separation when the time of fishing is over. Moses responded to the people, verse 20, don't be afraid. God's not going to kill you, in other words. You're not going to die if God speaks to you, but there is a purpose here. Look at the purpose. For God has come to test you so that you will fear him and not sin. If that's enough of an impetus for you not to sin based on the fear of a holy God, great. You need to know who you're dealing with. And the people remained standing at a distance. I love this last, as Moses approached thick darkness where God was. I want to take you out of the cozy camp. And I want, like Moses, I want you to meet this God that you are going to be called upon to deal with. That you are one day going to be on that shore, in that net, no appeal, no recourse, nowhere to go. You're out of your element. They sit down. Their urgency's over. That time is coming, and of that I am absolutely certain. It will no longer do for God's people to be worthless. Won't do. Finish well. Finish well. If you haven't been valuable up to this time in your Christian faith, in your earnestness, and your seriousness, finish well. Because the separation's coming. And who is going to be tossed out is the worthless. Be valuable to him. Be valuable to the world. Be his image bearer. You know the most dangerous place to be that this parable teaches us finally? The most dangerous place to be in this parable is in the church and worthless. Because it brings that false sense of security. And you can all the while be a worthless fish in the church. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, bless these words and anoint them and encourage us, actually, Lord, that we are in the time of fishing with urgency attached. Amen.